Good morning, listeners. Welcome back to Christ Today here on KKXX Radio, 9:30 a.m. and 104.5 FM. This is Tori Tipp with the founder of Christ Today, Curtis Smith.
Hey, Curtis, Tori. Good to be on the road.
Man, I'm so glad to be back on the show with you. It is so fun. I look forward to this every week.
Christ didn't come yet, did he?
No, we're still here. He tarried still another here. Week.
Well, he had somebody in mind to share his testimony before he came, so we have one more person to share before the Lord comes, I believe. But we don't know when the Lord's coming, so we'll keep having guests on until the Lord does come.
No man knows the day nor the hour.
Nope, we just got to be ready, right?
That's right.
Who knows? God might come today, but let's not focus on that. Let's focus on our guest.
Curtis, would you introduce our wonderful guest?
I sure would. His name is Sanjet Durham, and he is from the Fiji Islands, New Zealand, as well, and he is a YWAMer. We've been having YWAM guests on, Tori, lately, haven't we?
Been enjoying it. Boy, we had a powerful one last week as well, and we look forward to another great Christ Today with Sanjet.
Yeah, and this one just got back from Mexico, so pretty interesting testimony that we'll hear about Mexico. Sanjet, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, my name's Sanjet Durham, and like you said that I was born in Fiji. My culture is Fijian Indian, and my ancestors came down from India to Fiji when Fiji got colonized by the British. So we are now an indigenous group in the Fijian Islands as Fijian Indians. So if you look up Fijian Indians, we're an indigenous group of Indians that live in the Pacific. Then my mother and father had me, and my mother had me out of wedlock, so they weren't married. So in our culture, that's not a very good thing with the Indian culture. So my mother, she didn't want to live in Fiji because it wouldn't have been a good life for me. So she made a decision to come to New Zealand, and she came to New Zealand without her father knowing, and her sisters helped protect her. My grandfather wouldn't have liked the fact that I was born, because I was born out of wedlock, and he would have killed me. So my mother came over to New Zealand on a refugee status, and I was in custody with my mother for 3 years, and she met Christian people over in New Zealand, Presbyterian Support Services, that helped her get her green card, got her work, people to look after me while she was working. She made the decision, probably when I was about 3 years old, to put me into social welfare. She wanted to move on with her life and just decided that it was best for me to be handed over to the state. So I was brought up by social welfare until I was 7 years old, and I was adopted. And I was adopted by a pastor, which a lot of people are like, oh, that's fantastic, it's great. My father was a child molester. Mm-hmm. So I lived in a home that wasn't very safe. Mm. So my teen years, I sort of manifested a lot of brokenness from the early parts of my years to right through that, you know, and I was looking for family, looking for love. Looking for a full brotherhood, looking for a place to belong, just all those things. So I got myself into a bit of trouble and things like that. But when I was 18, I became a Christian, and I had two significant moments in my life where God's really shown his presence. And one was when I was probably about 5 years old, where I was fostered by a Dutch family, and I had an angel appear in my bedroom. It was just a day where I was just really upset, and I was crying in the middle of the night, and an angel appeared in my room, turned the light on, and went over to the bookshelf and pulled out a book and read me a story. Mm. And a significant moment, because I think from a very young age, even though I went through my trouble years, I've always known that, there's always been a God. I've always known that someone's been protecting me. And as I matured and got older and I look back on my life and the people that God has brought into my life and that have kept me on the straight and narrow, God's intervened to care for me. You know, it's amazing, you know.
It is. Sanjet, when you're telling us a story and our listeners, I mean, the first thing that comes up in my heart, and maybe with Curtis as well, of Abraham, and then how the Lord has kept you from those that would have caused you harm as being born from a child, from your own family, from what they would have found as disgraceful upon the family and not wanted you to be born and would have taken your life. The Lord saved you and moved you into other realms where, you know, I think, oh my goodness, here I am now. I'm in a home that's abusive. And so all these different things you went through. And then the Lord sending his angel to love on you, to reassure you that I'm with you. Yeah. What story did he read to you?
Well, it was
do you remember?
I can tell you about the story. It was the story about a boy, and I think it was the invention of penicillin. It was a story about a boy who got sick, and then some doctor invented some medicine, and he injected the boy in the illustrations. I remember the illustration, and these little soldiers came marching into his body, and he injected it into his body. So it was like, you know, it was quite prophetic in some ways, because I think, you know, through those times of years, you know, I really, you know, I got through those years, and I don't know how. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I don't know. You know, because there was a lot of brokenness there, and even in my teens, a lot of brokenness. But God's had his hand there, and in my little ways of being faithful towards, walking towards God, he's rewarded me, you know. And he's never let me down, you know. And so now I'm in America, and
How did you get here? I mean, you gave your life to Jesus and became a Christian at 18.
Yep, that's right.
But then how'd you get here?
Okay, so from 18... 18 is when I became a Christian. I was slayed in the Holy Spirit. I went to an Easter camp. You know, I was into drugs. I was into gangs. I was, you know, living a crazy lifestyle. My wife was my youth group leader, and she used to run these, help run these big youth camps. So I went along to the, started going along to these Easter camps, and you know, started seeing, you know, these people that had this relationship with Jesus Christ, and they were different, and they lived a different lifestyle than what I was living. You know, I came from a traditional church. My father was a pastor from a traditional church. You know, we didn't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. You know, it was a lot, really for me, it was just about stories, you know, and, you know, God for me was, I used to stick him literally up on the shelf, go do what I used to do on the weekends and through the week, and then go to church on Sunday and play Super Christian. And
I think that's what happens to a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and you know, I mean, later in life we've learned that, you know, it's about a personal relationship. Jesus, you know, God comes straight through to you in your heart, and he lives inside you. And you know, I learned that later on in life, but. Yeah,
so it's more than something to just do on Sunday or because we feel like, hey, we need to, or it's expected of us. Mm-hmm. I know that growing up, my parents took me to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we went whether I wanted to go or not. You know, it was just something, oh, yes, you are. You're going, young man. And so, you know, then much later in life, before I really had that deep, intimate relationship after going through struggles in my life and then really finding how much the Lord loves me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is my story, really. You know, it's that learning about how much God loved me, you know, and if that's my testimony.
What was the choice that you made there? Because people are faced with similar things. Satan likes us to make us think we're the only one going through that situation, but that's the furthest from the truth. There's every one of us are going through something, but there was something pivotal that happened to you. because you could have chose to go the other way. You could have chose to say, hey, God doesn't love me. I've been through this horrible abuse. I don't know how to deal with it. Turned your back and went towards the ways of the world. But what was the triggering point? How did you end up choosing to follow Jesus? Was it because of that experience you had as a child with the angel reading to you? Or what was pivotal there?
I was tired. I was tired of living a life where I knew I really wasn't fulfilling anything. You know, I wasn't happy. I used addiction. You know, I was addicted to things.
Mm-hmm.
I was an abuser, but never really brought any real happiness. And I literally closed my eyes and I said, I'm tired of the way I'm living. I'm tired of my life. I want to change.
Yes.
And I had these dreams, and I've had them through my life where I've seen a fire, and it's been in the future. I mean, in the distance, and I've seen it burning, and it come closer and closer and closer and closer, and then I've sort of woken up before the fire had hit me, and my perception of the fire was that it would burn me, it would hurt me, it was dangerous, and when I closed my eyes that day, the fire came and it engulfed me and it renewed me and it took something out of my body. And I had a consuming fire. I was lucky enough to have I had an experience with God, and it was a little bit about what Judgment Day was like, and I heard some of the recordings or the voices of myself talking about things that I had done, I just had the sorrow in me. It wasn't that I felt guilty, but it was just that sense of responsibility. You know, I had to be responsible for my actions. When I came through that experience, God also showed me a little bit of what heaven would be like for me. And, it was a cool experience. I came through, I had purple blood on my arms. And when I stood up, I physically could feel something had been removed from me, and it was a hardened heart. And, like I say to people, I've had a lot of these things that were hard about my upbringing. One of the things that I'd sort of say to people when I sort of talk about it is, I didn't sort of live my life, and I wasn't living my life. I was surviving it up to 18. And, and I knew how to survive, but God doesn't want me to survive. He wants me to have life, and he wants me to live my life. He doesn't want
not just to exist.
He just doesn't want you to exist. He wants you to have this intimacy in your life where and he's called you to do things. So he wants me to go and do things. And I want to do things for him. So I just want to be obedient to what he wants me to do. And that's why I'm here in Chico.
Think about how amazing God is. God has a plan for Curtis's life.
Oh, absolutely.
God being the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 29:11, very well used scripture, but he has plans for us for good and not for evil, to prosper us and not to harm us,
absolutely,
and to bring us to a good and confident end, which is the expected day of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
He's got Curtis's life planned out. He's got your life planned out, my life planned out.
Yeah.
And we want to live and walk in the fullness of the plans that he has for us. I don't want to be any more or any less than who God has called me to be.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the journey that I'm on at the moment. And so a little bit about how we came to America was a year ago I did my Crossroads DTS with YWAM Chico. And my wife and I were professional couples. I run my own building company back in New Zealand. It was just what we would probably call a small company over here. I had a maximum of up to 6 people working for me. We were living a Western lifestyle where we were, working, taking kids to sports.
In other words, you were busy.
We were over busy.
Yeah, you were busy with the cares of life.
The cares of life, yeah. And, our marriage suffered a little bit because, you know, we'd lived 10 years chasing the dollar, building bigger houses, moving up the ladder,
keeping up with the Joneses.
Keeping up with the Joneses. And, we'd see each other on the weekend because I'd start at 7 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got home, it was 7:30. And we look after the kids. Yeah. My wife, she started at 9 to miss the traffic in the mornings, and she wouldn't get home until 8:30. You know, so by the time you get home, you spend time with the kids. There's not much time for each other. But that was our life. And, you know, we'd go to church on Sundays and we'd get this little touch of God. And that would, and I don't know
supposed
how
supposed to carry you the whole week, right?
Carry the whole week, you know. And but that's, you know, I don't want to condemn people, but that's how we
live. That's what Satan does.
Yeah,
he keeps us busy with the cares of life.
Yeah,
and it's, we need to take a step back and take a look at our life that's passing us by. Life happens while we're being busy every day.
Yep.
And it's all of us. I mean, I face it as well. I mean, anybody that's in, has a job, has kids, has a home, taking care of things, it's a part of it. But to be able to balance that and be in the and do the Lord's will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So 10 years ago, we made a decision that we wanted to do a YWAM course, and you know, last year was the year where we fulfilled that. That desire, that seed that God planted in us. And we ended up coming over to Chico and doing our course. And when we went home, we decided we want to be full-time missionaries. It's been about 5-6 months, and then we came back.
We're going to take a break.
Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.
Okay, we're back, folks. And we've been talking to Sanjit Durham. He's from the Fiji Islands and from New Zealand. And he's a YWAMer. And he has been sharing his testimony with us. So go ahead, take it on, Corey. Tori, I mean.
Well, yeah, I think Sunjet was doing awesome.
Yeah, he was.
So we just got you back from your growing up, from being born in the Fiji Islands, going to New Zealand, and your childhood, and then having the angel encounter when you were 5, and then at 18 receiving the Lord, and then through then coming to America, and now you just brought us up to YWAM.
Yeah.
So take it from there. What's going on with YWAM? How did you get involved with them, and what's the Lord doing?
Well, one of my significant moments that I had with YWAM Chico was when we went out to outreach to South Africa. And it was it's a special moment because it wasn't a planned moment, and it was a really God moment for my life. It's changed my life. We were doing some work with some children out in a district that was in a place called the Drakensberg Mountains. And it was with kids that 50% of them might have had the HIV virus. So we ran a holiday program type thing when we were out there. And we did it over 3 days. Every day the numbers increased. And so, you know, part of doing a YWAM course is that, you know, you get challenged to do new things. Some of the experience, new gifts that you might have challenge you to do, you know, things that you might not always do. So one of the things that I was challenged to do was to dress up as a clown. And so I went and did my my clown thing with another person named Emily from my team. And we had a great time. We threw water balloons at kids and, you know, did goofy
like
things.
Fun.
And it was good, but very hot. You know, it was like, I mean, it was probably about 110 Fahrenheit, so mm-hmm. it was extremely hot. And while we were doing that, my wife was started taking people back home from the clinic that was running from the same area. And she said, oh, you know, it's only 15 minutes up the road, but I wanted to go and sit inside the vehicle because it had air conditioning. And because I was hot and sweaty with this makeup on and this big afro, and so I decided to jump in the next ride and drive the people home. And I was still in my clown suit, had my makeup on, so we end up driving out of these outer villages. And one of the funny things about it was, you know, I had a bit of fun with it, but people were looking at me because I was in this clown suit, and some people hadn't seen clowns out there, so they didn't know how to react. They didn't know, and even with the kids, they didn't know to be happy or to be scared and run away. So
clowns can be scary.
Yeah, it was these mixed reactions. So anyway, we started dropping these people off, and we're getting down to the last couple of people, and I'm in the vehicle with this other lady that's been working with the people in the vehicles, you know, out in the outer village areas, just with helping with the medicine and stuff like that. I get this sort of feeling of like, you know, have you been out here before? Or, you know, do you know how to get home? She sort of turned around to me and said, no, I haven't been this far out before. So there was this other guy in there that was worked for them. He was one of the Zulus, and he sort of knew where he was going, but we were dropping him off home. So we end up driving on this road, and we get to the end of it. There's two more people in the vehicle, and the road disappears. So we end up going down like a dirt track, which, you know, which was fine. We had a vehicle that could handle that. And then that track disappears, and we're in these fields. We're right up in the Berg, where you look right down this valley and you can see this beautiful river. It was very beautiful. And so we end up taking this lady back to her house. And I had this moment when I got out of the car, and I ended up helping with this lady to get her out of this vehicle. And, you know, she was very sick. She, you know, she probably needed a wheelchair. If she was here in the States, she probably would be in a special care home. But, you know, these people live right on the edge of this mountain, and that's where she lived. So I had this moment where God said to me, I love this woman so much that I'd send you from Fiji to New Zealand to America to South Africa, dress you up as a clown, drive you in a car where you don't really know where you're going, off the road. You know, that's how much I love this lady. And that moment for me
sounds like a great plan. I mean, yeah.
You know, that was so big for me because...
Sounds like our God.
Yeah, that's our God. And I was one of the first time that I felt that 100% connection of how much I was loved by God. Just, you know, and just how every single person is so valuable to God.
It's awesome.
And I was just, and it blew me away, you know. And that was the cool thing about doing, you know, a YWAM DTS, Crossroads. You get all the... You get all these lessons, you know, you do a school before you go out. They prepare you, you pray, you intercede, you learn all these techniques that the Bible tells us that we should be doing, you know, and then you correct some of your thinking while you're going through those processes. God puts you in this melting pot where you really get this presence of who God is and 100% of what, you know, what he can do. You know, so we saw miracles while we were out there, you know. People had individual moments when they were out there where God revealed himself to them. You know, it was fantastic. So that was my special one. You know, I have another one. And this is a cool one because I pray, but we were interceding, and probably about 13 weeks earlier, we were at Chico YWAM, and we were praying about visions. And I had this vision of a person wearing a Blue Bulls shirt, which is the name of a rugby team over in South Africa. And I thought, well, you know, that's nothing really special, but I shared it anyway, and we wrote it down in the book. And I got right to the end of our ministry, the second to last day, and I was a little bit like, well, God, why did you give me this vision? And I started doubting, is it really of me? Is it, you know, right, blah, 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 going through all those experiences.
Like we all do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and second to last day, we end up going to a rehab center in Durban, and I'm there, you know, just in relationship with some of the people there, talking rugby, throwing the rugby ball around, you know, setting up the braai for the night. And suddenly God says to me, Sanjit, look at his t-shirt. And I looked at his t-shirt, and there was the Blue Bulls t-shirt.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I've got this message that God wants me to say to him. He was actually an ex-YWAMer, And, you know, circumstances has brought him there and through his own brokenness. And, you know, and I just, I mean, for me, the significant thing about that was, you know, trusting in God and the power of prayer, but even just understanding divine appointments.
Right.
And just understanding that, you know, we talked a little bit before about how everybody's niche together. Like, God's planned this day. Mm-hmm. You know, he knew this day was going to happen.
Right.
You know, like we're here today. He knows this day was going to happen. Yep. It wasn't just some sort of fluke that it happened. It's all been planned. You know, so, and, you know, that was something that was very special for me, and that was a healing moment for me because, you know, sometimes when I look back on my past, and, yeah, it brings me tears. You know, it makes me feel sad. You know, some of the decisions that were made in my life were, you know, were adult decisions, but God had his hand over it, and everything about my life, the insights that I have, the things that I experience, the things, the brokenness, the way I manifested my brokenness, you know, God has transformed all of that, and now he wants to use that. You know, and I say to people, like, you know, I do have a lot of natural knowledge on situations because I can see things, because I've lived through it. You know, and now God's, now because I know how much God loves me, I have the confidence now to be able to share some of that stuff, and I have an insight with people with brokenness, and I have a way with people with brokenness where, because I can walk through it with them.
How would we ever be able to experience that or identify that if everything in our life was just picture perfect, right?
Absolutely.
So he takes those broken pieces of our life and makes a beautiful mosaic, a mosaic piece of art out of our lives. And it just is amazing how I know that in my own personal life, how he's done that, taken my, I mean, just right out failures of my own stupidity to put myself in that kind of situation of bad choices and to make something beautiful out of it.
Absolutely.
And to love me enough, to love us enough, not to say, you know what, I've given you enough chances, Tori. I'm done.
Yeah.
But he stays with us.
Mm-hmm.
What a blessing.
You just have to give it to him. You know, there's his own song that says, give it all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, broken hearts. You know, give it to him, and he'll turn something wonderful and beautiful out of it, just like he has for my brother, Sanjet. So here you are at YWAM in Chico.
Mm-hmm.
You were already married.
Yep.
And you have seen God's hand at work, God providing, even with the little that you have to live on a monthly basis. What are some other things that God has done in your life since you've been a part of YWAM in Chico?
He's done heaps of things. Well, the season that we're in at the moment, he's teaching me to live in community. He's teaching me to forgive. He's teaching me how to live with other people. You know, iron sharpening iron. You know, this is the first time I've ever lived in a missionary situation where it's full time. You know, and it comes with its challenges. And you've got to, you know, you've got to be able to communicate correctly. You've got to be able to be gentle when you know, you've got to learn to live with people. And you know, we're in a base where it's multicultural, and there's warm cultures, there's cold cultures, and warm cultures, some things are important to them, and other things aren't, and in cold cultures, some things are important to them, and some things aren't. So it's getting that balance, and you know, it's having that identity with God that brings us together, and being able to deal with our issues, how to live with each other, and then go out and share the gospel with people. And so, you know, that's the season I'm in. And
When you're in that close of proximity with people,
mm-hmm.
You know how it is with a family. I mean, there's issues that
absolutely.
Come up with everybody's families, you know, little quarrels here and there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody did something, but, you know, that's a part of it.
Oh, absolutely.
And being able to deal with that.
Well, yeah, that's it. And so, some of the ministries we're getting involved with there at the moment is I'm involved with a group of Hamilton City, and there's some at-risk kids from a Mexican background, I think, or you call it Hispanic.
Sure.
So yeah, I'm involved with that, and like Curtis was saying, I had the privilege actually, last week of spending a week down in Mexico building a house for a family, and we have a ministry inside our base that there's three people that are involved with it. But we went down with Barry, and Barry's been doing it for 22 years. And it was really cool to go down with someone that's leaving a legacy and has shown commitment to the ministry that God's called him to. And over the years, just the things that he's been doing down there. And so what ended up happening and how we ended up going down was on Thursday, I think we were doing our morning devotion time. And Tom, who's the head of our department, he said, "Hey, man, there's Barry's looking for three people to go down to, you know, Mexico. Everything will be paid from the Mexico side onwards, but you'll have to, we needed to get down to San Diego. So, A, we had to find a vehicle that could get us down there, you know, petrol for us, and a night's accommodation, and, you know, just the things to get us down there, because it was, I think it was a 10-hour trip. So three of us sort of put our hands up and said, no, go away and pray about it if God's asking us to go. So we came back and we all went, yeah, now God's telling us to go. So I had a tank of petrol in the car. I went and bought some groceries that night. We didn't actually have enough money to get back from Mexico at that time. But, you know, one of the things that I think Chico's taught me, or the YWAM base has taught me in my relationship with God, is trusting that God will provide absolutely everything for you when you know that he's told you to go and do it.
Mm.
You know, not in our own thinking, but in his thinking. And I was lucky enough to go with three people that believe that, you know.
Yeah.
And we weren't, you know, there wasn't an issue for us to jump in the car and go. So we jumped in the car, and I think we stopped just before LA, about an hour and a half before LA, at a McDonald's. Went in and used the Wi-Fi just to post where we were and let our partners know that, you know, where we were, and that we were fine, etc. And I got a message from my pastor, Craig, from New Zealand, and he just said, just got your message, and I'll put $500 New Zealand into the account, which gave us the money to get back,
wow,
stay for a night, food, and get down there. So that was a real blessing. And
praise the Lord for that.
Oh, absolutely. One of the cool things about going down with Barry was, A, you know, he'd been doing it for 22 years, and it just had that glow about him, you know, and just watching him the way that he was with the people, and the people knew him. And, you know, he's been going down there for 1 week every month,
wow,
for the last 22 years. You know, he's an interesting person to maybe come on a show. But,
yeah, I need to have him on.
You know, he just has this passion about him. And it was cool to see him in relationship with people down there and be in relationship with us. And, you know, it really stirred us. But one of the cool things that I liked about the house that we built was it represented $5,000 American to build this house. And when we started roughly working out the sums of what it would cost for a Mexican person to build the house, we worked out that it would cost 16 years solid saving of all their wage. So it actually represents more than 16 years, because that doesn't include like phone bills, you know, just living costs, weddings, funerals, etc. So it probably realistically represents probably 35 to 40 years of saving to,
wow,
build a house that was, well, I'd say it's 6 meters by 10 meters, but I'm not quite sure what that's in feet. But a double garage, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're lucky enough that one of the guys that came down, Chris, he was a builder as well, and he brought down a whole lot of tools. So an air compressor and stuff like that. So we ended up building, you know, Barry said, probably one of the fastest houses that was built down there. And partly that's because we had the equipment to do it. So that was really cool, and it was a witness to the people in the community of how quickly we could build this house. And, you know, there's just those moments, and I like those moments where you see people, you know, this, the joy of God in people's hearts. And God moments, man. And when he was in front of us and we're just about to dedicate the house, and he wanted to thank us, and he couldn't really talk. It was just, he was overwhelmed with emotion, happiness, just the shock of what he was just about to receive. And, you know, we had other people on our team, a lady named Rosie, and she brought a lot of extra things down an extra money that helped buy extra sofas. Oh, not sofas, sorry, mattresses. And the family hadn't ever slept on mattresses. So to be able to provide a mattress.
You had made mention that one guy hadn't slept on a mattress how many years?
Oh, the man of the house, I think he was 49 years old. So he never slept on a mattress. So
wow.
Cool thing about the ministry is, you know, when we're there, six other applicants came along. You know, it's a ministry that's going to keep on going into the future. It's called Mexican Experience, I think it is. But if you ring YWAM Chico and you want to be involved with a short-term mission or your church wants to go down, great facilities down there, you know, great cause, you know, helping people, it's awesome.
How long does it take to build one of these houses? So it's roughly a little over 600 square feet.
Okay.
How long did it take from start to
build? We did it in about 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah, because we had the tools. But on
That's
average,
amazing.
It takes probably about 5 days because they nail it by hand. Yeah, yeah. But it's cool, you know, and they get to choose the color of the building. They make it personal. It's cool.
So what would you like to share next with the audience? What are some other things that are on your heart that you want to share? We still got a few minutes.
I think I wanted to talk about, you know, how much God loves you.
That would be awesome. Go ahead.
You know, and just the significance of that. And that was a significant moment for me over in South Africa. You know, love can be distorted when you grow up and, you know, the way that you're loved by people. But, you know, we serve a God that loves us unconditionally, doesn't have a price tag on us, that the value of us, you can't put a price tag on, that we're so important to him. And, you know, he loved us so much that, you know, his son, Jesus, died for us on the cross. And
what a price to be paid, right?
It's a price to be paid. And it doesn't matter what we've done in our life. It doesn't matter absolutely what we've done in our life. That when you turn to Christ, you know, he can rebuild you, he will forgive you, and you can move on in your life, and those things don't need to hold you back.
Nope, that's true. Why do you think people allow that to hold them back? Why do you think people have a hard time experiencing the love of God?
I think why people struggle with that is because they don't really, they know Jesus, they can be in relationship with him, but they might not understand how much he loves, is loved by them. And, you know, a lot of that comes down to, you know, dealing with your brokenness and, you know, finding right people to talk with, to be able to share some of your brokenness with. And I think that's, for me, that's been a very significant thing for me personally is, you know, sometimes, you know, people can do more damage than good sometimes when you can open up and share with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you've had a broken past, involving things that you know, or any issues really, you know, selecting the right people to
use discretion when
is a form of wisdom. So, but I met a man named Dave Riddell in New Zealand, and he is a Christian mental therapist, and he runs a course down there, and I spent some time with him with some counseling sessions, and he challenged me and helped me renew my mind. And I think that's one of the key things about my brokenness is that I think I learned about relationship, I've learned how God loved me, I've learned the intimacy, but then the thing that I hadn't really learned was the renewal of my mind. And, you know, the memories or even just some of the learning, some of the things that I've learned in my past is just actually brokenness and hurt and being able to mentally be able to process that. And for a lot of broken people, that's the challenge because you can live out your feelings, you can live out your brokenness without even really knowing because that's all you've ever known. And he helped me with that.
What brings a person to a point where that healing can begin? I mean, how does a person get to that point where they know, they recognize that, like for yourself, when did you get to that point where you recognized that you needed God's help or assistance in dealing with that so you could overcome that, so you could be a person whose life was different and be able to love others?
I mean, for me, the significant moment that I've read the Bible verse, I've had people talk about it, it was that verse that, you know, God just, it stuck in my head. It was, you know, the renewal of your mind. Mm. You know, God wants to renew the renewal of your
mind. It's Romans 12, 2.
Yeah.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Exactly.
That word is powerful.
Ah, absolutely.
That word is life-changing.
Yeah,
it's creative.
Yeah.
It'll take the broken and renew it. It'll take our failures, mm-hmm. our faults, and restore us and set us in that path that God has for us, the renewing of our mind, because whatever we're putting in, it's coming out.
Absolutely.
So that's why it's the word says, and be careful. Remember that little song? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear.
Yeah.
There's a reason why that song is so powerful. It's because what we're putting in, it's what's coming out. So when the Lord tells us, renew your mind daily.
Absolutely.
To the things of God. Because when we're renewing it daily, that transformation comes like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The word is powerful and life-changing.
Ah, absolutely. And that's significant for me. That's one of the things that I had to learn. You know, one of the other things I had to learn was... you know, my survival mechanisms, you know, because I was abandoned, because I didn't really have parents, I brought myself up, I, you know, was moved through probably 7 families before I was adopted, you know, I was adopted into an unsafe family or a dysfunctional family. It's, you know, learning the difference between, you know, sometimes you know, a lot of the times your feelings aren't always good judgment. They can come from your brokenness. Mm. So it was learning which feelings were broken and which feelings, and learning how to deal with that in a healthy emotional way. And so, you know, I call it, you know, emotion-based reasoning. So not reasoning with your emotions, learning to feel the emotion, look back at how that's affecting it, and just look at the emotion and making sure that it's, you know, not from your brokenness or how it's attached to your brokenness and how you react to it, because you can always escalate the issue, or with God, he doesn't make it as important. He can heal you through that. So it was, for me, it was learning to not survive life, but to live it. And those are significant things for me. I mean, to talk about renewing of my mind, you know, not surviving it, living life, because God has this calling and purpose for us. And like we were talking about before, you know, he doesn't want to hurt us.
That's true.
He doesn't want to harm us.
No, he has a good plan for us, not bad.
Yeah. Sanjay, you are personifying what is said in Romans 12, 2. The rest of that scripture, it starts out, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is exactly your story.
Yeah, it is, you know. Yeah, you know, and that's why I'm here, because I have this life that God has given me. I've had these blessings. I have, you know, stories of relationships with people that I can share. And, you know, I have these insights and these understandings of situations and people's pains.
Without judging,
you know, because God doesn't call us to judge or condemn, you know.
Right.
But we get so caught up in the doing that, it's pathetic. Yeah.
I think that people that have experienced things, I mean, at least for me and what I've found in my life, and I'm, tell me if this identifies with you, but my experiences and my shortcomings and my failures makes me so less judgmental on anyone else, because I know how much I've messed up and how much the Lord has forgiven me. So if somebody tells me something, I'm like, yeah, it really doesn't faze me, you know, because I know what the Lord has brought me out of. And that is what people need. They need not to be judged. They need to be loved.
That's true.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
It's easier to judge when you've been judged, though.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to be a judger when you've been judged. I think it's easier to, for instance, about a week ago, I went to San Francisco with one of the base leaders, families and kids, and the kid was picking on me, just playing around. But I talked to somebody and they said, you know, that's probably because that child's picked on and teased. They're looking for someone to take it out on. And I think a lot of times hurting people look to get the hurt out, and they'll take it on others. And we have to put ourselves in people's shoes sometimes. We have to go, why could that person be the way they are? And instead of judging them, pray for them.
That's
find
really
a way
good,
to
Curtis.
Encourage them. Find a way to reach out to them. Mm. You know, I think we put this judge's hat on and we say, well, you're doing this because of this. You're this because of this. We don't know why they're that way. We don't know why they're doing what they're doing. Only God knows. And instead of us trying to fix them or trying to determine why they're doing what they're doing, such as the man in Sanjet's case that reached out to him, took the time to speak into his life, we try to make ourselves judge and jury. And God said, judge not, lest ye be judged. Now, if we see somebody in a wrong and we want to encourage them and restore them and help them, we go to them in love and share with them in love. We don't go to them and judge them. And I think that's one of the things that's taking place right now. We have a group of people out there. They're hurting, they're wounded, and they're living a life that a lot of us don't see why they're living that life. And instead of praying for them, we're judging them. We're condemning them. We're criticizing them. We're being a judge and jury instead of praying that God would reveal himself to them, true love, real love. And I think one of the things that you, Sanjet, experienced was true love, real love.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's my testimony today is like, to now is like, it's our king is about love. He's
exactly.
not about a religious spirit, you know, like no. It's not about rules and regulations.
It's about being instead of
you know,
doing.
It's about, it's love and relationship.
Letting him be the life
beautiful.
That lives through us instead of us trying to live it. Now you work with guys in Hamilton City and you minister to guys in Hamilton City. You want to share something with us that you've seen happen in Hamilton City or how the Lord has used you in Hamilton City area?
Well, I've been out there a couple of times. We've just going through a bit of a structure at the moment. So I've been out to the drop-in on Friday. Our ministry's changed out there. People are going to be involved with, instead of all going down there to one place, the ministry's broken into certain parts. So we've got, there's a dance ministry down there. There's a sort of like a mercy mission down there where so people go down and clean up people's gardens, help people tidy up their yards, fix their roofs, etc. So I've done a little bit of work there as well. So that actually tomorrow will be first time that I'll meet some of the boys that Carlos Penning, who was here last
yeah.
week.
Good old Carlos.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to give a shout out to the YWAM base and to the guests that have been on from YWAM base, Josh Beaver, Carlos, Dane, and the future guests that are going to be on. Next week we won't have a guest from the YWAM base, but I want to give a shout out to the YWAM base. If anybody's out there and you're interested in what's YWAM about, give 893-6750 a call. Ask to speak to someone like a Carlos. If you're going through a hurting time and you're a young person or you're a person that's looking at what would God have me do, what, how could I be involved, call the YWAM base and ask them because they have mission building projects. They have discipleship training school projects. They have a worship project coming up. They have a basic leader skill coming up. They have a lot of different things which can be a building and a benefit in your life, and you could be used not for the Lord, but with the Lord, God teaming with you in YWAM to do something wonderful to impact a person's life. And as I'm at that too, I want to let you guys know that I am considering doing this YWAM project, and I'm going to need to be looking at sharing it with you here in a couple of weeks, letting you guys know more once I know more about what's going to take, because I'm looking for maybe your guys's blessing, support, prayers, help any way possible to help me do this. And I'm looking at doing it next year, Lord willing. But anyway, Sanjet, let's get back to you're going to go out to Hamilton City tomorrow. What do you want to take to the kids? What do you want to do to minister to the kids?
Well, yeah, just tomorrow for me personally, it's about relationship, because I think it all starts with relationship.
That's important.
Before you can even start working with people, it's, you know, you got to form that trust. And you've got to, you've got to form that trust. And I've got to earn my right, you know, with the people, with the boys there. And they got to scope me out and they've got to, you know, suss me out and, you know, if they can trust me. So it's about having fun for me tomorrow. It's about, you know, taking the opportunities that God gives me to be able to talk into people's lives. It's just to let them test me out, you know, and see who... You know, just see what I'm about, you know?
So building trust.
Building trust.
So we're going to take another break real quick, and then we'll be right back.
Here at Sycamore Glen, we actually like to think of ourselves as a senior resort.
Every day is just like home. It is home. I love it here.
We encourage people to come down and visit us and to take a tour, to look around, to have lunch on us or dinner on us and experience Sycamore Glen. Not the lifestyle you need, but the lifestyle you've earned.
That's Sycamore Glen. For more information, call 894-0384.
Welcome back, listeners, to Christ Today at KKXX, 930 AM, 104.5 FM here in Chico. You're listening to Curtis Smith and Sunjet Durham as telling about his wonderful life that the Lord has brought him out of darkness and an amazing light, a life that the Lord has journeyed with you and never left you, never forsaken you.
Absolutely.
And it's so exciting. And you've got a wonderful family. You've got a beautiful wife and three boys.
Yeah, absolutely.
My three sons.
Yeah.
What's
my
going on with them?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things I would like to talk about is that, you know, I'm 38 years old. My wife's a little bit older than me. I don't want to tell her your age. I might get in trouble. So I've got a 13-year-old son. I've got a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. And I just want to talk about my family a little bit because, you know, one of the cool things that I think that God took me through in my journey is that, you know, my perception probably before we came here was that, you know, missionaries were either older people that had sort of lived their life professionally and then decided to go and honor God by doing something, or just people that, you know, I didn't see a lot of families, or my perception was, or my own personal perception was that, you know, families weren't really included. So one of the things that obviously we were challenged about last year was, you know, the family is just the part of the missionary and the witnessing and everything that we do. So the children are part of everything, you know. If we just, you know, we decide to, you know, go on another outreach, or God calls us to do that, the family will go, you know. Or, you know, sometimes I might not go. But one of the things I do want to share that was special when we were in South Africa was that the ministry, or just something special that was cool that God did with my boys. And one day, you know, I was sort of talking to Sarah and we're going, you know, what sort of thing will we help promote with our boys that they could do or learn as a skill to take, you know, to the mission field? And we were talking about it and we didn't really know what, you know, what we could do or teach them. But I went to a bookstore in Chico and, you know, we were walking around and we saw a book that had paper earplugs. And so we decided that I'll buy that book, and I brought it home and I showed it to Jackson and Samuel and Joshua, and they learned how to make probably 30 to 40 different planes, paper planes.
Paper airplanes.
Yeah, and it was just like, I didn't think much of it, but, you know, when we went out into the villages, it was something that we could take, like, you know, like you could take 500 leaflets of paper, and the kids watched our kids, you know, build these planes and fly these different planes all around and created a toy, you know, at a very cheap cost, you know. I mean,
wonderful.
That was a really cool God moment, you know, that I had with my children where they could, you know, they were part of the ministry. They made these paper airplanes and they were a part of the, you know, of the
That's
ministry.
Awesome.
And they were, you know, people would come up to them and ask them how to make them. And, you know, they use that all the way through South Africa. And even today, my boys still make paper airplanes.
That's right.
You know, it's something that they haven't lost. And my son's even making more advanced ones now. So, you know, hopefully we'll get an opportunity where, you know, that we can, you know, they can do that again and they can grow.
Part of raising up a child in the way they should go, and when they're
absolutely
old, they will not depart from it.
There's
not a day that goes by, and I know in your house and in my house that the name of Jesus is not spoken. It's always spoken. We're always praying with our girls, talking to them about the Lord. Our girls are involved with feeding people here in Chico once a week that my lovely wife helps participate in. But being the hands and feet of God is what we really need to be able to train our children about, being the hands and feet. Jesus went about doing good, and we've trained them at such a young age, you know, being more than just a happy Christian sitting on the pew on Sunday.
Absolutely.
But actually getting out there and making a difference in the world.
One of the most important things for Sarah and I is that, you know, we want to teach our children that following Jesus Christ is a lifestyle, and it's a daily thing. And, you know, we've been blessed with the opportunity that we can become full-time missionaries where we can go and do that. But that doesn't mean that people, I don't want to condemn people out there that, you know, the area that they're in at the moment or whatever they're doing, that that's not the area where God's called them to, because the mission field doesn't necessarily need to be what we're doing.
Mission field is your next door neighbor.
Man, it's business.
Right.
It can be in your business. Your business could be sponsoring people, missionaries. Your business could be sponsoring a food bank down the road. You know, your business could set up, give an opportunity for a young boy, young girl to play in a sports team. Mm-hmm. You know, it's whatever God calls you to do.
Could be ministering to someone in the checkout line at the grocery
store. Absolutely, man. That's what it's about. And it's been aware of that. And I think it's about, I think one of the things I was guilty of, you know, before I came and did the course was I'd live my life, and I talked about it before, it's those divine appointments. I had all these people that I could be in relationship with that just walked, because of the busyness of life, that just walked past me. And all those people were planned to be there. You know, God planned all these people to be around you.
But
you know,
distractions can stop you
from seeing what God wants you to do in those moments.
Yep.
And, you know, that's something differently, you know, that, you know, God's been talking to me about. And, you know, it's brought to my attention, you know, like, it's everywhere, you know. It doesn't have to be in South Africa. It can be in Chico on a Friday night with the homeless people.
That's true. You just have to be open and let God flow through you and not look for opportunities, but be prepared when they come. Because you could easily miss an opportunity. You can miss somebody. I mean, to be honest with you, Tori, if I wouldn't have saw you come out of the station that day, if I would have been busy or not been here on time, the relationship that's built between you and I, you coming in and helping me and being a guest host wouldn't have occurred. And it's just being at the right time, at the right place, with the right person. And you never know when God's going to do that. Sometimes it seems like a long time, but sometimes it's quick, so we just never know. We just have to be focused on God and let Him do it, and He does it in His timing, correct?
That's right. I mean, it's a divine appointment, and we were in the right place in the right time, and you were obedient, and I was willing. So together, we were willing and obedient.
All I wanted was a testimony. I never knew it was going to come this far. Just like all I wanted to do was go on mission build, and now I feel like the Lord may be leading me to do a crossroads or multi-generational program up at Richardson Springs. And if He's doing that, He'll provide the funds. I don't know how it's going to happen. I can't figure it out. All I know is I can trust Him. And He's teaching me to trust Him, because for a lot of my Christian life, and folks, it's important that, you know, this show's for you guys. It's important that you guys hear what's being said, but I want you guys to be encouraged. But a lot of us have a hard time trusting God because we operate with what's called a brain. The brain gets in the way of the trust of God. We have to sometimes not look at what sounds logical, what sounds reasonable, what makes sense, because God doesn't always make sense. God doesn't always sound logical or reasonable. He may tell you to go do something that sounds about as crazy in the human mind as you can get. I mean, if Sanjay would have heard about 5 years ago, you're going to be in California, he would have thought something was nuts. I mean, he wasn't looking. He had a business. He wasn't looking at being in California doing a YWIM. He wasn't looking at being on staff in California. He wasn't looking at losing what he had, but he really didn't lose it. He gained. And he gained knowledge. He gained experience. He gained relationships. But to the human mind, it would have sounded crazy about 5 years ago. Just like me being on the radio today would have sounded crazy a couple years ago. I mean, I never would have thought I'd be on the show as long as I've been on this show. And it's been going on almost a year now. 1 week and we'll have done a year. But it's not about what we know or what we figured out. It's about what God knows and what God has for us. So we're going to end up closing this out in prayer. And we're going to be with you guys again next week. So, Tori, you want to close this out?
You bet. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the time we had here today with Sanjet and Curtis and myself, Lord, and being with our listeners, Lord. We just ask You to be with those that are listening today. And if there is someone out there that is feeling impressed upon their heart to receive Jesus as their Savior, if you would just repeat this simple prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity. We believe that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, and that He is our Savior, and that we ask Jesus to take away all of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Lord, that You would restore and bless us and keep us safe, Father. Father, I ask you to be with our listeners as they go, that they would be blessed as they go, that they would be able to share in the lives of others and to recognize those opportunities, those divine appointments that we have daily that you set before us, Lord. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like to write us here at Christ Today, you can write us at KKXX Attention Christ Today at 1363 Longfellow Avenue, Chico, California, 95926. Feel free to call us at 855-930-1045. And if you need prayer, please call me directly on my cell phone, 530-864-1111.
And we'll talk to you again next week.